baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you are listening to another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Show, and we're the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goes, our ace co-host. What's up, Goes? On a Wednesday night.
A Wednesday night and right before PFL in town.
A little bit of a peek behind the curtain. Usually, you'll get your show on Thursday morning. Don't worry about that. But PFL has brought us to the Mandalay Bay for the ceremonial weigh-ins, and then a few of the USA Today sports suits were in town, and because of that, our stay here at the Mandalay Bay studio kept us here, and I thought, you know what, let's just clear it with the managing editor, Simon Simano, and if he's good with it, we're good with it. So we're going to cover all of the big news that's out there, and yes, of course, Conor McGregor, John Jones, Frankie Edgar, all the big names will get touched on, because they have been piping up, whether it be social media or other forms of media. We will talk about PFL. This is technically PFL 8, Goes, so it's playoffs. It's the second week of playoffs, but it's PFL 8 of Season 3. And, of course, UFC on ESPN 6, also known as UFC Boston. We'll touch on that fight card, headlined by Dominic Reyes and Chris Weidman. So, buckle up, junkies. Another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Show. Here we go.
Are you a football fan? Then you don't want to miss NFL 100, a USA Today sports celebration of the NFL's 100th season.
From the best on-field performances to the draft's biggest busts, we're picking the top 100 players, moments, and teams since 1919. See if your favorites stack up to ours at usatoday.com/NFL100. Look, Ghost, Conor McGregor has lost his last few fights in the combat sports world, all right? But make no mistake, if this guy's talking, we're listening. So we're going to lead off with that, and then we'll finish with the X's and O's from PFL and the UFC. But did you see him and Frankie Edgar? This time, you know, it's usually when he's saying something on Instagram and Twitter, we just kind of brush it off, right? Isn't that what we've done the last few months?
I still do it. He's not fighting for free.
All right, folks, so let's catch you up here. Conor McGregor says he wants to fight Frankie Edgar in December and that he'll do it for free. What he means by that is there was an exchange on Twitter. I always have to check where it, where it stemmed from. But basically, it was Frankie Edgar's birthday, and then McGregor told him, happy birthday, see you in December. Edgar says, thanks, pal. I said yes. Oh, no. Yeah, see you in December. So Edgar says, thanks, pal. I already said yes. It's on you and at Dana White to make it happen. So, again, this is the point where we all just roll our eyes. But, no, McGregor, you know, they're already – that's already making it sound to us like there's been dialogue between the three, the UFC, Edgar, and McGregor. McGregor says, there you go, White. Make the bout. Give my purse to charity. First responders. One for all at Proper Whiskey. Mm-hmm. So it goes, for free, meaning – is the whiskey blowing up and he wants to do something for a city where, he's, you know, it's been pretty big in his career, Las Vegas. I imagine that's what he meant with first responders, right?
No. Well, the thing is, when you think about all the tragedies that have happened in the last year, that could be El Paso. That could be Odessa, Texas. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So I would imagine he means Vegas.
Yeah.
He's done community service out here before. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But
We just passed the 2-year mark too.
Yeah. I don't think so, man. I mean, I don't know. I just feel
regardless of whatever
opening his mouth to
it
open
is,
his mouth.
If it's true, that's pretty big of him. He'll score a lot of points if it's true. But you're saying you don't think it's
I don't think
true
it is.
Because Connor just likes to. Yeah, I was telling it's a like few, when, there was a few junkies here that were saying, "Come on, why would it happen? December stacked."
Yeah.
Three title fights. The only thing I can think of is a lot of businesses want to show, "Hey, look, we're not just in the black. We really close strong. You know, just looks good for the financials. Maybe that's the deal. Like, hey, look, are you both of you guys ready to rock and roll in December? Let's just have a monster and close 2019 outright. But if not, yeah, you're right. This sounds more like a 2020, early 2020
affair. None of it makes sense. None of it. The placement of the card doesn't make sense. Think about how hard it would be just to get one fighter to agree to fight for free, let alone two. That ain't going to happen, dude. The placement of the fight makes no sense. Them fighting for free makes no sense. None of it makes sense. I feel like it's like when you have tickets and you know somebody can't go to the fight or the concert and you offer them the ticket just to kind of score mm-hmm. a few points, mm-hmm. but you know they're not going to take you up on it. That's what that is.
Okay.
He is not going to be taken up on
that. At
the
same time, I'd be remiss not to mention that Conor McGregor could possibly be having other legal troubles. Could he?
Yeah.
Could he maybe just be doing a little bit of a cover-up here? Like, hey.
Like Creed?
Look at me. Look at me, everybody. I'm juggling over here, you know, kind of distracting everybody from all the stuff that's kind of going on in his life, on his personal life.
Maybe, but I mean, if you go up and down Twitter, you'll see a lot of people kind of come at him like, you need to shore up what's going on in your personal life first. Like, I think he's just at that point where enough is enough. I mean, it like a smokescreen is basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
I thought you were alluding to, that's why I said a Creed move, where Creed in that movie, I forget what the guy he was fighting, his name, but that guy knew he was going to go to jail. So he said, I want to get a fight in so I can generate this money for my family because I know I'm going to go away for a while.
Oh
I thought
boy.
That's what you
you're
meant.
Really getting deep on me.
Hey,
yeah.
You never know. He's cerebral, right?
Hmm. That's interesting. That's an interesting take. Now, folks, all these are allegations. There was an incident allegedly last December of 2018, but recently there's been some troubles. And I'm not even talking about the old man that got punched. That one's on video. Or the phone that got snagged in Miami. That one's on video. I'm talking about some newer allegations. And I want to leave it at that because here's the thing. In Ireland, they have strict laws where they don't talk about the offended party nor the offender by name, and all we know is about an Irish superstar who there's some allegations of some sexual misconduct. So we'll leave it at that. I think every man and woman deserves their day in court. But look, if all that to the side is not what it is and this fight happens, who ain't in, right?
Yeah.
It'd be bizarre. This fight card doesn't need it, but who ain't in? And by the way, is it the main event? You tell who's running.
No, hell no.
And Covington to come in second to the last?
No disrespect to the guys involved, but it reminds me of Mayweather and Pacquiao, where, okay, I'll take it, but it would have been really good a few years earlier.
Okay, who's got the biggest beef for that not being the main event?
What do you mean?
Okay, sorry, I misworded that. Who has the biggest beef for them being the main event and not McGregor and Edgar?
Usman and Covington.
All right. So I'm Dana White, and I say, okay, Usman, who makes pay-per-view points, if you want, McGregor won't be on your pay-per-view. Wink, wink. You get what I'm saying? You're coming in second. Does Usman go, oh, that's my bad. I didn't think that one through. Right?
That's interesting.
If right away that thing shot up from 500,000 to a million, at least a million pay-per-views, maybe more. You never know with Conor McGregor. You might just be willing to come in second to last.
Well, I think
remember Usman told us on one of our off-guard series, catch it, folks. That's Goz and I's new original video series on MMA Junkie. Remember he said, my daughter, what'd he say? She likes
nice things.
Gucci and Versace.
Okay. I kind of see what you're saying. That question probably isn't lobbed towards Usman. It's lobbed towards his manager, Ali Abdelaziz, who also represents Frankie Edgar. So maybe I could see that being spun a little bit. But, George, why are we doing this? We know this isn't going to happen.
Yeah, did we just wait five out of 30 minutes of our show?
Well, no, because it was fun. But
just on McGregor. But did he do it to us again?
I don't know.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on to another superstar. John Jones has taken a plea deal in that strip club case from a few months ago. Remember the one that he kind of, I think, vehemently denied? And I guess he pleaded a no contest. It involves him and a cocktail waitress at a strip club, but apparently that's been resolved. Jones took a plea deal on Thursday in Bernalillo County, which is in New Mexico, and he pleaded no contest to disorderly conduct. So, you know, when I think when they do that, they basically, look, I'm not a legal expert, but they want it to just go away at this point. So they give a little bit, you know what I mean? But still, when you're innocent and you're adamant about that, you fight it, don't you?
You do. I remember Dana White kind of making a big deal about this too, saying like, it's not that big of a deal. I saw the video or whatever, right? So you're right, especially with what's happened in John Jones's life. I think at some point you take a stand and you say, I'm going to fight, especially if you feel like you're innocent. This would be one of those moments, but I don't know. I mean, to me, it seems kind of weird. And now, so now he can never go back to that strip club. He cannot drink or smoke or do anything during that time frame, right? Which is, is it 90 days?
90 days, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Deferred sentence.
That may not, to you and I, we might say, oh, man, we can do that. No problem. To a guy like John Jones, I don't know.
Now, his plea is not considered an admission of guilt in the state of Mexico. But, you know, the court of public opinion sometimes is, I think that's worse, right? That's really where you want your name cleared. I mean, everything's great to be expunged on your legal record, but still, your sponsors, everything. Think about, this is the guy that had Nike at one point, goes, and that's no longer the case. You could still have Nike, even though that's a Reebok company that they're with, because all this happened pre-Reebok. He could still be with Nike doing stuff with them outside of it. He lost it because of his buffoonery.
These guys are big. When you talk about John Jones, Conor McGregor, you have to eventually get to the word legacy. And ESPN just did the 30 for 30 on Chuck Liddell.
Did you catch it?
And Tito Ortiz. I saw a little bit of it.
How was it?
I haven't seen the whole thing.
I haven't seen
it either. I don't think, from what I saw, it's not so much things that are going to make you go, oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of that was pretty public. But eventually, these are the guys that are going to have these 30 for 30s on them. And so these little moves, these little maneuvers here and there are going to be big when it comes down to legacy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You have to protect your legacy, dude.
Before we get into PFL playoffs and UFC on ESPN, I want to go over two quotes that shivered me timbers a little bit. I just think it's too early for one of them, and then the other one is too morbid. Here we go. We'll lead off with ladies first. Macy Barber goes, why is she even putting herself in the same sentence as Valentina Shevchenko? And she even touched on Weili Zhang. She's basically saying, you know, like, I mean, I'm good enough to win two titles, you know, one or the other. But she just started. Like, why put that pressure on yourself?
Because a guy named Conor McGregor did it on our show. And we laughed the same way we're probably laughing right now. And it actually happened. The fact that she put it out there, I honestly didn't. When I read it, I kind of went, come on, you know. But it's happened before. And a guy like Conor McGregor said it and did it. So I guess I can't hate on her. What he did bought her insurance for me to just shut up. I got to take it once or twice, right?
I have no defense. You're actually right. I guess we did snicker. This guy pulled it off, and that's what made him what he is today, was because...
You got to listen now.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose you're right, but man, Zhang looked good, but I'm not concerned about that one. I'm concerned about the Russian/Peruvian.
Yeah.
She is a killer. And I don't dare utter her name until I've at least maybe gotten to 10 fights. And then I can say, yeah, I think I got something for the champ in the future. But, wow, she threw it out there, man. She went there, goes.
Valentina's a robot. I don't understand how she can be so active, so injury-free with all the training that she does. You know, not all her fights end early. She's had some pretty big battles.
I got one little defense. McGregor did have about twice as many fights as Barber had. Barber's 2-0 in the UFC and 7-0 overall. Mm-hmm. I think when we were covering McGregor pre-2012, 2013 over at Cage Warriors, remember he had already won the featherweight strap and he was going to try and be a champ at Cage Warriors over there?
Yeah.
So I think he had a lot of more fights under his belt, like I said. I don't know. He may have been a little bit more of a comfortable spot, but
that's still pretty bold, though. Even if you're okay, remember when Aaron Pico came into Bellator and how he was like a hot prospect,
right?
That's even a bold statement for somebody like that. Let alone a guy that people don't really even know unless you follow Cage Warriors.
I suppose you're right. Yeah, Conor McGregor, man, you did it to us again. All right, now let's transition here to Yair Rodriguez versus Jeremy Stephens. This fight was supposed to happen in Mexico City, and folks, two quick things. That fight got moved to the UFC Boston card, which takes place on Friday. And let me say that again, takes place on Friday. The UFC Boston card is on Friday, not on Saturday. And I know a lot of you are like, say what? No, that's the truth. But this fight is great. It actually supplanted. Remember Cater and Zabit Magomedsharipov got moved to the Moscow card goes? This one's taking that one spot. And we know there's beef, but here's something that Steven said that has bothered a lot of people. He said, if Rodriguez don't die, if he doesn't die, it don't count.
Mm-hmm.
A bit much? Or
A lot much, right? Just
well,
the
I'm talking about your personal palate, like for you.
Because it's over the top. I think we've take away the fact that we do this show just as a hardcore fan. We've heard so many things like this before that it's not going to make you want to watch the fight anymore, I don't think. What's interesting to me is, like, when Frank Mir did this, they came down on him.
He lost his job with the WEC.
Yeah, as a color commentator.
Right.
They made it sound like this is a big deal. You should never say these type of things. And a few fighters here and there have kind of teetered around that. But I think this is way worse than what Frank said, right? I mean, this is pretty bad.
It's up there. And here's the thing. On the heels of Patrick Day, I believe he's a super middleweight boxer who just lost his life after battling for a few days in a coma, it's worse now. Mm-hmm. To be fair, when Steven said this, Patrick Day hadn't died yet,
right?
And but I guess my point is there's just so many other things he could say and still give you the effect that where it gives you a chill and you just feel like, oh man, I can't miss it. I got to tell my buddies about this fight. They can't miss it. And I'll give you guys an example. When Goz and I went to Fort Eustis it was a joint base Langley Eustis, because there was one trip we only did to Eustis, but this one was a joint base. Do you remember when Masvidal went out there and he spoke in front of the troops?
Yeah.
And he kept it really short. Thank you all. I'm kind of paraphrasing here. Thank you all for your service. Your bravery allows someone like me to go out there and do the things I do. Without you all fighting for our freedom, I wouldn't be able to break jaws, all right? And I just remember the whole room went, oh, shit. Like, that just sounded gangster. Mm-hmm. I remember I did it. I think Derek Lewis, who was with us too, even he looked over his shoulder like, wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At any point, he didn't say anything about anybody dying, right? He just said, break jaws.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my point is you don't have to go there. You can say some pretty badass stuff, deliver the point, and stay out of trouble.
It's a bit much. I mean,
and we don't know what's going to happen. Maybe he's not eligible for a bonus. I doubt he'll lose his job. But you know, Jeremy Stephens, like, we already know you're a pretty tough dude, and you come to bang, that's for sure. But just think it through is all I'm saying.
Jeremy's a little intense, but I don't know that it translates well. Like, you guys remember, he's the who the fuck is that guy from the press conference, right?
That's true.
That was a moment where he decided to be outspoken and it didn't kind of go his way. This is probably another moment where he probably needed to tone it down a little bit. It's a little bit much.
All right, let's talk about the X's and O's of this sport. Let's talk about some fights happening this weekend. Well, folks, the good news is your weekend is clear because PFL and UFC are going back-to-back on Thursday and Friday. So you got your Saturday clear to go hiking, watch football, do whatever you want here as we are just starting off fall. And your Sunday's really, really wide open. So that's the good news. And starting things off tomorrow here at the Mandalay Bay Event Center, Let me tell you, it's ESPN2 followed by ESPN goes. Shout out to the PFL. Pretty much everybody was on point and weighed in, and you know, they're ready to do their thing. These are featherweights and lightweights that are going to be fighting tomorrow, except for one cat. He was supposed to face Lance Palmer. His name is Gadzi Rabadanov. He is out, and Alexander Almeida, who has fought Palmer in the past twice, winning once and losing once, he steps in. So good on him to – good on the PFL to have their backup ready. It happened last week with Bobby Joe, who faced Kayla Harrison, and now Alexander Almeida will step up. These guys used to be teammates over at Extreme Couture. Palmer has since moved on to Mark Henry's gym in New Jersey. So they're familiar with each other, you know, not just as teammates but also as opponents. But there you have it. I mean, other than that, I believe everybody else was on point and ready to go.
Props to them. You're right. That's cool that they would even have this kind of alternate spot. Sometimes when people get the spot, they just chill. They don't really do too much. But both fighters in both particular cases made weight. They did what they had to do. They probably got a good salary to do that. Now they got to fight. The question is, so they were getting paid.
Wait, both fighters going back to Bobby Joe and
Bobby
then this
Joe,
one?
Yeah, okay. 2 weeks in a row. Yeah. Okay, so here's my question for you. That person, Bobby Joe or Almeida, they got paid to basically be ready in case something happens.
Similar to Alexander Volkanovski when he was right there for the Edgar and Holloway fight. Mm-hmm. He just weighed in. Here's your show.
So did they make, let's just say it's $20,000 to do that, okay? Now they tell you you're going to fight. Is that a completely different contract where now you get like your $30,000 for fighting, your $40,000, whatever the hell that is? Or does your $20,000 kind of just bleed in over to that? That's what I want to know.
I think it's got to be something, but not much, because you are technically, they're preparing you for the weight cut, and if you don't have to fight, you still get it. But I believe you should be training like you're gonna fight someone, you know, like mm-hmm.
So they're two separate purses.
Yeah, I think it'll
so that's nice.
No, I still think it's his win and his show money and his win money.
I disagree with that.
So you think he's going to get an extra bonus for just being the standby guy?
Yeah, I think you agree to being your stand-up guy, whatever that is. We're going to give you $5,000-$10,000 just to be ready
to
make weight.
Let's ask PFL tomorrow.
And then after that, here is your purse for fighting, right? Because PFL doesn't know if he put in like an honest camp or what. They don't know what he had to go through. That should be separate.
I'm not hating if they pay him, for sure. It would just surprise me. Because the bonus is if you don't have to fight, you still get paid. But otherwise, they're telling him, hey, show up like you might fight.
Because mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense. If he were to make weight,
everybody else
but not
lost,
fight,
right?
Then, all right, then give him the full thing, right?
Meaning just the show money.
The full show.
Yeah.
I don't think that price is the same, the show versus being ready. I think that's probably like half of what your show would be. That's a lot of money to give somebody just to make weight.
Yeah, but think about what's riding on this. They don't want to have somebody just have a free pass into the next. Mm. Like, everybody else is fighting twice in one night, but one guy gets a bye. So I think that's why they have to have this guy set up.
We'll ask.
I wouldn't doubt if they had another guy. Yeah, that's the easiest thing is we'll wait 24 hours. We'll share this with you guys on Monday. All right. So tomorrow night we have Lance Palmer in action, Andre Harrison. These are ranked fighters that have been ranked fighters in the USA Today Sports MMA Junkie rankings. They are solid folks. Rashid Magomedov, he used to fight in the UFC. I think he got off to a 6-1 start in the UFC. He's no joke. Also, Nathan Schulte, he's the season one winner. He's in there. And Ramzi Nizam, shout out to him. He was part of one of the Ultimate Fighter seasons. He lost to Tony Ferguson in the finals. So that's yet another familiar name. Jeremy Kennedy, Daniel Pineda, also former UFC fighters. It's going to be a fun night. It starts on ESPN2 at 8 p.m. Eastern, and then it moves to ESPN at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. We're pretty lucky, man. It's in our backyard.
Fights, and when you think about what happened with Chris Curtis, maybe even a little drama to get thrown in there. It really was a fun night, and I like that there's – it's going to say preliminary and main card, but there really isn't. They're all important fights.
Yep. Now let's get to a card where it does make a difference, and that's UFC on ESPN 6, Reyes versus Weidman. That's the main event on ESPN 2 on Friday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. So it's going to start a little bit earlier than you used to on some of the pay-per-views. And you got Chris Weidman moving up from middleweight to debut as a light heavyweight in the UFC against Dominic Reyes, who is undefeated. This should be a pretty interesting main event. Who you got? Who'd you turn in?
I turned in Reyes, but there was a little piece of me that wanted to say Weidman, just because in these type of situations is sometimes where he shines. But he hasn't looked like he's the same fighter for a while.
He's taken some vicious KOs, but prior to those KOs, he's been winning some fights. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But not what we all hands,
he's got experience. We're used to. I guess part of me feels like I hope he wins, but at the same time, if you put a gun to my head, I'd probably go with Reyes. I've been flip-flopping all week, so you may see something different in the snap picks than what I'm about to say. But I guess right now, maybe I am leaning more towards Reyes. He used to wrestle. He used to play football. He's just bigger.
He's younger.
You know, why wouldn't you go with him? But Ray Longo and Matt Serra's fighters are always competitive. Yair Rodriguez versus Jeremy Stephens. We just spoke about all the stuff outside the cage going on. But at the end of the day, who you choosing to have their hand raised?
I flip-flopped on that. Because this is a completely different fight. You have to do two breakdowns for
Mexico?
That. Well, yeah, because in Mexico, you got the hometown guy.
And that
it's
was
a five-round fight.
And this is three, yeah.
This is three rounds. When you look at their styles, to me, this benefits Jeremy Stephens more. So
I like Stephens.
I actually went with Jeremy Stephens for this one.
We're on the same
but
side.
But in Mexico, I went with Yair.
Greg Hardy's on the card. Joe Lauzon. He doesn't want Jonathan appears to make a name off of him. Macy Barber. She's already looking forward to Weili Zhang and or Valentina Shevchenko, but she's got her hands filled with this Jillian Robertson young lady. Darren Stewart versus Jerron Wynn. That's the main card. On the prelims, there's some pretty cool names in there. Manny Bermudez just took his first loss. He fights Charles Rosa. Meatball Molly, she's on the fight card as well, goes. Kyle Bochniak, local Boston guy, is on the card. Another Boston guy, except not the city of. Boston Salmon is back, goes.
Mm-hmm.
He fights Randy Costa. Court McGee, Big Mouth. Kevin Holland, he's on the card. I'm tuning in. Hopefully you tune in. The prelims are on ESPN2 on Friday. I can't say that enough. At 6 p.m. Eastern start time. Well, there you have it, folks. That's yet another one in the books for us. The MMA Junkie Radio Show is, this has been a transition period that's been a little difficult, but I think we're hitting our stride. We'd love to hear your feedback on Twitter and Instagram. Hit us up. I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at the Goes, and that is Twitter and Instagram, and we're pretty easy to find on Facebook as well. But hit us up and give us feedback and let us know. And plus, those 5-star ratings, they really, really help us out. It's a big algorithm that works with Apple Podcasts. I'm sure that bleeds over to Stitcher and Google Play and everywhere else. You might pick up the podcast. So any type of rating or review stuff that you can do, we would love that.
And questions. If you post questions on our social media, we can bring them up on the show. And I think that's great fan engagement because there's a lot going on. Like George mentioned, think about what we've talked about. We haven't even reached Bellator's, won championships. Sometimes we don't even have enough time for that. There's a lot going on, and we like to focus on the big events that are going on at the time, but doesn't mean that the other organizations don't need love too. A lot of stuff happens in those organizations, and it's fun to talk about. So via social media, you can engage with us a little bit, and if there's something you want brought up, I know there's a lot of one championship talk out there, we'll bring it up.
Yeah.
We ain't scared.
By the way, two more things since we have just a couple minutes. John Jones says he's more than happy to choke out Anthony Johnson when he returns to the UFC. That all stems from an off guard that we did with Anthony Johnson, right?
Uh-huh.
Where all he said was, yeah, I'm a heavyweight. However, I would drop for John Jones. He didn't spit any venom his way, did he?
Not at
why
all.
Why is John
he
tripping?
He couldn't have said it in a
these
nicer way.
These guys have
way.
Gotten along this
I'll
whole time.
I'll tell you why he's tripping.
Why?
He's tripping because he needs a dance partner. He needs a dance partner because he's so good. That's why Daniel Cormier was so important, because Daniel Cormier will talk trash back and forth. He has a presence of him that makes you think he can win the fight. You've shown that he's been competitive in fights before. He didn't really get that from Gustafson. That was a guy that took him almost to the brink of losing in that fight. So he had that, and then a little venom. If you look at the buy rates compared to what happens when he faces Daniel Cormier, he just needs a dance partner. And a guy like Anthony Johnson, he's praying will take the bait. He's praying that some of these heavyweights will take the bait. He needs it to make money.
He was tripping on Israel earlier in the week.
Exactly.
And guess what? Did you hear that Chris Weidman said something along the lines of Jones isn't as mythical as Anderson Silva is?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he might be right, because when he fought and beat Anderson Silva, Silva was it. But make no mistake, I mean, John Jones has been it for a long time as well. Do you think he's just maybe poking a little bit, maybe in case he gets himself in a position? Is he trying to get on Jones's radar, or is that just, you know, sincerity coming from the heart?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it makes sense. But, I mean, going back to Rumble, if there's somebody you don't want to piss off, it's Anthony Rumble Johnson. But you're going to get him off a huge layoff. I mean, I don't know.
To be technically right, he said, Jones is a bigger puzzle, but he just lacks Anderson Silva's mystique. Mm. And if Jones didn't like what Rumble said, he's not going to like that. You know, because when you're one of those goats, you want to feel like you got a mystique.
I think he's going to love it. He loves
Jones?
That type. Yeah, John Jones loves that type of stuff because he... Like
he
I
lacks
said,
Anderson
he,
Silva's mystique?
Well, the actual comment, of course, he's not going to be okay with it, but he's going to love the fact that it came out, okay. And now he can respond to it and start a Twitter beef.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. We mentioned Israel. We mentioned Weidman. We mentioned AJ. I'd love to see them all. If Reyes wins, he's definitely in the mix. If Corey Anderson wins, he's in the mix. But if he doesn't win, it's because he lost to Johnny Walker. Mm-hmm. And he for sure could be in the mix. Now, Johnny's not a big talker. He's kind of like, dare I say, a little bizarre, kind of a bizarre
he's
got individual.
A funny
little
swag
geeky
to him, though.
Yeah, like he's, you know, he's just real chill. But boy, man, that guy is, I mean, he's been a killer, dude, in those three fights that he's had in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Corey Anderson's no joke. If we can get past him, holy cow. So yeah, maybe Jones will have some options in 2020. But you're right, I guess 2019. He's picking fights. All right. This time we're really out of here, folks. Thank you again for the support, and go out there and be a champion.